Welcome to the very first podcast for Narration by George. I'm your host, George Taylor, and in this podcast today, we'll share the Christmas story and a closing thought about celebrating this holiday season. See you on the other side of the story. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a Galilean town, Nazareth by name, to a young woman who was engaged to a man called Joseph. The girl's name was Mary. The angel entered her room and said, "Greetings to you, Mary, O favored one. The Lord be with you." Mary was deeply perturbed at these words and wondered what such a greeting could possibly mean. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God loves you dearly. You're going to be the mother of a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be known as the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his forefather David, and he will be king over the people of Jacob forever. His reign shall never end." Then Mary spoke to the angel. "How can this be?" she said. "I'm not married." But the angel made this reply to her. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Your child will therefore be called Holy, the Son of God. Your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son, old as she is. Indeed, this is the sixth month for her, a woman who was called barren, for no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled." "I belong to the Lord, body and soul," replied Mary. "Let it happen as you say." And at this, the angel left her. With little delay, Mary got ready and hurried off to the hillside town in Judea where Zacharias and Elizabeth lived. She went into their house and greeted her cousin. When Elizabeth heard her greeting, the unborn child stirred inside her, and she herself was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is your child. What an honor it is to have the mother of my Lord come to see me. Why, as soon as your greeting reached my ears, the child within me jumped for joy. Oh, how happy is the woman who believes in God, for he does make his promises to her come true." Then Mary said, "My heart is overflowing with praise of my Lord. My soul is full of joy in God my Savior, for he has deigned to notice me, his humble servant. And after this, all the people who shall ever be will call me the happiest of women. The one who can do all things has done great things for me. Oh, holy is his name. Truly his mercy rests on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has swept away the high and mighty. He has set kings down from their thrones and lifted up the humble. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. Yes, he has helped Israel, his child. He has remembered the mercy that he promised to our forefathers, to Abraham, and to his sons forevermore." When Mary was engaged to Joseph just before their marriage, she was discovered to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Whereupon Joseph, her future husband, who was a good man and did not want to see her disgraced, planned to break off the engagement quietly. But while he was turning the matter over in his mind, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What she has conceived is conceived through the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son whom you will call Jesus, the Savior, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." All this happened to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel had told him. He married Mary, but had no intercourse with her until she had given birth to a son. At that time, a proclamation was made by Caesar Augustus that all the inhabited world should be registered. This was the first census undertaken while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and everybody went to the town of his birth to be registered. Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to David's town, Bethlehem, in Judea, because he was a direct descendant of David, to be registered with his future wife, Mary, now in the latter stages of her pregnancy. So it happened that it was while they were there in Bethlehem that she came to the end of her time. She gave birth to her first child, a son, and there was no place for them inside the inn. She wrapped him up and laid him in a manger. There were some shepherds living in the same part of the country, keeping guard throughout the night over their flocks in the open fields. Suddenly an angel of the Lord stood by their side. The splendor of the Lord blazed around them, and they were terror-stricken. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring you glorious news of great joy, which is for all the people. This very day, in David's town, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. Let this prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped up and lying in a manger." And in a flash there appeared with the angel a vast host of the armies of heaven, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, peace upon earth among men of goodwill." When the angels left them and went back into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Now let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has made known to us." So they came as fast as they could, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen this sight, they told everybody what had been said to them about the little child. And those who heard them were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured all these things and turned them over in her mind. The shepherds went back to work, glorifying and praising God for everything that they had heard and seen, which had happened just as they had been told. At the end of the 8 days, the time came for circumcising the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given to him by the angel before his conception. When the purification time stipulated by the law of Moses was completed, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This was to fulfill the requirement of the law. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. They also offered the sacrifice prescribed by the law, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. In Jerusalem was a man by the name of Simeon. He was an upright man, devoted to the service of God, living in expectation of the salvation of Israel. His heart was open to the Holy Spirit, and it had been revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. He had been led by the Spirit to go into the temple, and when Jesus' parents brought the child in to have done to him what the law required, he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, "At last, Lord, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised. For with my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have made ready for every people, a light to show truth to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother were still amazed at what was said about him when Simeon gave them his blessing. He said to Mary, the child's mother, "This child is destined to make many fall and many rise in Israel, and to set up a standard which many will attack. For he will expose the secret thoughts of many hearts. And for you, your very soul will be pierced by a sword." There was also present Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was a prophetess. She was a very old woman, having had 7 years married life, and was now a widow of 84. She spent her whole life in the temple and worshipped God night and day with fastings and prayers. She came up at this very moment, praised God, and spoke about Jesus to all those in Jerusalem who were expecting redemption. Not long after his birth, there arrived from the east a party of astrologers, making for Jerusalem and inquiring as they went, "Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come here to pay homage to him." When King Herod heard about this, he was deeply perturbed, as indeed were all the other people living in Jerusalem. So he summoned all the Jewish scribes and chief priests together and asked where Christ should be born. Their reply was, "In Bethlehem, in Judea. For this is what the prophet Micah wrote about the matter. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod invited the wise men to meet him privately and found out from them the exact time when the star appeared. Then he sent them off to Bethlehem, saying, "When you get there, search for this little child with the utmost care, and when you have found him, come back and tell me, so that I may go and worship him too." The wise men listened to the king and then went on their way to Bethlehem. And now the star, which they had seen in the east, went in front of them as they traveled, until at last it shone immediately above the place where the little child lay. The sight of the star filled them with indescribable joy. So they went into the house and saw the little child with his mother Mary, and they fell on their knees and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, incense, and myrrh. Then, since they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by a different route. But after they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up now, take the little child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod means to seek out the child and kill him." So Joseph got up and, taking the child and his mother with him in the middle of the night, set off for Egypt, where he remained until Herod's death. This again is a fulfillment of the Lord's word spoken through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." When Herod saw that he had been fooled by the wise men, he was furiously angry. He issued orders and killed all the male children of 2 years and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding district, basing his calculation on his careful questioning of the wise men. Then Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more. But after Herod's death, an angel of the Lord again appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Now get up and take the infant and his mother with you and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up and took the little child and his mother with him and journeyed toward the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was now reigning as king of Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to enter the country. Then he received warning in a dream to turn aside into the district of Galilee and came to live in a small town called Nazareth, thus fulfilling the old prophecy that he should be called a Nazarene. And that is the Christmas story from Matthew and Luke. In all its simplicity and wonder, a story to treasure and ponder. But how do we celebrate this season? Sure, we have family time and time with friends, time to give and receive, perhaps time to minister and just love on someone who may need it. The real question is, how do we celebrate after the holidays are over? Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this, "Who among us will celebrate Christmas correctly? Whoever finally lays down all power, all honor, all reputation, all vanity, all arrogance, all individualism beside the manger. Whoever remains lowly and lets God alone be high. Whoever looks at the child in the manger and sees the glory of God precisely in his lowliness. Paul put it this way, "Let Christ himself be your example as to what your attitude should be. For he who had always been God by nature did not cling to his prerogatives as God's equal, but stripped himself of all privilege by consenting to be a slave by nature and being born as mortal man. And having become man, he humbled himself by living a life of utter obedience, even to the extent of dying. And the death he died was the death of a common criminal." But that's not the end of the story. Paul again writes, "The glorious fact is that Christ rose from the dead. As death entered the world through a man, so has rising from the dead come to us through a man. As members of a sinful race, all men die. As members of the Christ of God, all men shall be raised to life. And so, brothers mine, stand firm. Let nothing move you as you busy yourselves in the Lord's work." That's the Christmas story. From my family to yours, Merry Christmas. Scripture excerpts were taken from J.B. Phillips' The New Testament in Modern English. Join me next time for the next podcast of Narration by George. Check out my website, narrationbygeorge.com, for news on releases and current availability of books. Thanks for joining me.